702 podcasts are on 702.co.za.
24 minutes to 10 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Thabo Shole Mashao. I'm standing in for Aubrey. You're on 702. Let's walk the talk. Thank you so much for joining us. It means the world to us. If you've just tuned in, we were talking about the announcement of the president at the Lekgotla as he was closing the ANC Lekgotla. Part of his speech mentioned that they are considering, or they were talking about, or they may even implement the issue of national disaster so as to deal with Eskom. It's something that affects all of us. But to talk broadly about Lekgotla is none other than Dr. Ongama Mtimka, who's a political analyst that needs no introduction to the South African media at all. And we thought let's invite Dr. Mtimka to kind of unpack Lekgotla for us and to chat to us about what to expect in the next few days resulting from this ANC gathering. Dr. Mtimka, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to 702. Good evening.
Good evening to you and your listeners, Thabo. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. Let's take a few steps back, if you don't mind. Again, please pardon my elementary question, but I think it's very necessary to look at it from a basic viewpoint. Please emphasize for us again the importance of the ANC Lekgotla, which often precedes the cabinet Lekgotla. What does it mean to an ordinary South African? What does it mean to our listener right now?
Well, it sort of continues the planning around what the ANC program of action gets to be. People will remember that in South Africa, we vote for a governing party, or we have a party-based system in terms of which, you know, the parties contest elections on a closed party list and then a specific manifesto. Mm. And then they translate that generally into government policy. So I think this is a penultimate party process in terms of which the final instruction to government comes.
Yeah.
And then the work takes place at government level.
Sure.
And it's preceded by, obviously, the NSC ahead of the January 8th statement.
Mm, mm. No, I'm mentioning that deliberately so that we can see how one flows into the other. From the ANC pouring into the union buildings, if you will, and how the two can actually, where there's a bridge between the two. Right now,
And by the way, it's even more important now, Thabo, because the party finds itself under siege, having suffered significant electoral losses in recent years. In fact, it's been a trend that's been more than 12 years. But I think in this, close to 14 years, but in the last 3 years, local government, national government, as well as local government elections, it's bled a lot of support. So it's a little bit under siege in terms of the need to do things with a lot more urgency.
Sure. And of course, energy was going to obviously dominate the discussions, as it should, because it's a very powerful pillar that affects all of us, that affects the economy. And it would almost be naive for them just to deal with it in passing. So it did affect the discussions, and we hear the president speaking about the National Disaster Act that may need to be invoked in this instance, as we saw with COVID. And this does this now mean that finally, eventually, the ANC is starting to get this and the penny has dropped?
So maybe let me allow myself to answer, give both the positive and negative answers.
Yeah.
As I listened to the submission that Eskom made to Scopa,
yes,
you got a sense that the utility feels it's done its best within the constraints that it is facing in order to address the crisis. And in fact, went on to outline why they think it is they can only deliver up to 50% of its capacity by 25. And when I listened to them and the complexity of things that they are dealing with, from crises around coal to faults within the baseload power stations to emergency repair work that's needed to take place, to the repairs that are taking place at Coburg, as well as all the problems operationally from the quality control of coal and everything else, and the failure to get coordinated support from coal. One thing became quite clear for me, Tabo, that here we are facing a problem of, one, poor coordination at the level higher than those responsible, such as, for example, Minerals and Energy Department, the police and all the law enforcement support that Eskom needs, and every element, So, and as I realized that, I thought, and also, the international transactions that take place, as they explained how, what the lead times are for ordering certain equipment. I felt that a true leader would stop and say, what are all the things that are necessary to be done in order to reduce the timeline that Eskom has given, limited by the constraints they have outlined, to address load shedding in as short a period as possible. And they don't need to do much work, because Eskom seems to have done that work, and for the first time, I'm sort of satisfied that it's getting there. And then mobilize all the resources that are necessary, call manufacturers, and have one practical meeting that's not really, a talk shop, but is geared at unlocking certain bottlenecks. The kind of activities that will be necessary to achieve a crisis-sensitive, environment would require a state of disaster. However, a state of disaster will be squandered if it doesn't, follow a thoroughgoing process which explained exactly what processes would be enabled by making such a declaration. And we are rightly concerned as South Africans that the ANC tends to think and do things in bad faith, Tabo. And politicians in the ANC tend to not act in the best interest of the country, but in the best interest of the power networks that enable their function at the party level, where you may find that instead of contracting in good faith with manufacturers that need to be contracted on an urgent basis, you find that these manufacturers are being compelled to work with politicians instead of being partnered with South African companies that have skin in the game and can add value to what they do.
And that's a very serious problem. Does that then propel and justify our sense of suspicion every time the ANC comes up with any measure to deal with any project of this sort, including what we're talking about right now, the energy crisis, as now it appears that they are suggesting the National Disaster Act? Is it going to be met with a serious dose of suspicion from ordinary South Africans, fearing exactly what you've just mentioned?
It would, and it should. But what I would say is that as a country, it's difficult to get things going here. It's difficult to operate. Because we're a democracy, and unlike in China, where the strategic national interests require a port to be built somewhere, and there are people who live there, China's government would tell the people, "We need that land. Please move so that we can build a port there." In South Africa, that doesn't happen, and that's a good thing. However, there are times when we have to rely on a process of this nature. I would rather have the state of emergency and deliver marginal results than not have it at all and continue to operate in this business as usual approach.
Could this have been somehow instigated by the elections on the horizon?
For me, yes and no. I think the crisis, it's logical for the crisis itself to impose a response that's a lot more, you know, urgent, because it can't be that we continue to live in a nonchalant way at a time when there is a destruction, a load shedding of catastrophic proportions that can actually erode entire industries and make South Africa very difficult as an investment destination, both for investors that are already here and those that we still seek to attract domestically and internationally. So the crisis itself imposes this, but you're quite right. We've looked into it in political economy that there are what the same way that there are business cycles, there are political economic cycles, and part of the theory on political economic cycles is that the closer we get, or we tend to see electioneering ahead of elections, and then post elections a phenomenon called partisaneering, where electioneering is trying to ramp up expenditure ahead of an election because it's the economy, stupid, as they say. Or in post-election partisaneering, where a party attempts to reward constituencies for voting for them. So you're quite right. That is a factor as well.
It's 12 minutes to 10 o'clock. We are talking to Dr. Ongama Mtimka. He's a political analyst. I'm sure you know him very well. We're just discussing the matter of the African National Congress, Lekgotla, that just concluded a few hours ago. And from the president's closing remarks, we understand that they did give this issue of energy crisis much thought, much deliberation, and some of them issues, solutions, and possible resolutions that came out were that we could be heading for a national state of disaster. And that's what some of the discussions revolved around. And in that national disaster, we are yet unclear how it will take shape. And it's very early stages simply because it's at the party stage right now. There will be a cabinet Lekgotla, and we want to see how that will go. So we're just trying to understand how all of this is nuanced on the backdrop of this huge problem that we've been having in South Africa that affects almost every single thing. It affects education, it affects small businesses, it affects the health sector, safety and security. It cuts across the board. If you want to join the discussion, which I urge you to do so, the number to dial is 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. If you're a bit shy to speak to myself and Dr. Mtimka, you can simply send a voice note, if you will, alternatively, a text message to this number, 072-702-1702. 072-702-1702. Dr. Mtimka, this speaks to a lot of things, as you've touched on it, that political economy, and it's about economy, stupid, as Bill Clinton once said. More than that, I mean, we are also focusing on the harsh economic effects that are directly linked to the ballot box or the ballot paper, if you will. When people have lost jobs, they will then, in the past, it was very difficult or perhaps convenient, if you will, for a number of voters not to link the national, in inverted commas, problems directly to the ANC. Does this create that bridge that has not been so utilized in the past?
Please repeat that question for me. I didn't hear at the beginning.
Sure. I'm just saying, in the past, the gist of it was that in the past, when we went to vote, a lot of people, based on the outcomes, found it difficult or convenient not to marry the ANC with national problems, in inverted commas.
By the way, that's not unique to South Africa. Sure. Initially, in the first few elections following a democratization process, people vote on the basis of where the country comes from. You would find that, you know, the politics of apartheid and liberation ring a bell, you know, in people's minds when they cast their vote. However, the theory goes that as successive generations of voters begin to come in, what the past was like tends to have lesser effect on voter behavior, because some of the voters are younger, and also you know, the housing program has upgraded a lot of informal settlements. Electrification has happened. There's been water that's provided. Now the focus gets to be on the quality of those services, rather than initially where people get excited about access to the services. So instead of access, the shift becomes the quality, and that's when this thing that we call regime performance becomes an issue, where the governing party takes the brunt for failing to perform. So that's a long way of saying, yes, indeed. And as there are new voters that are coming in, as people begin to, you know, accept that we now have access, quality issues become the focus.
The new leadership, again, not so new, of the ANC, the new feet that have now just walked into the NEC, the NWC, will they, are they maybe pushing and inspiring this sense of urgency? Are they playing a role, or is it way too soon to see their effects and to see their impact on a body that has been lethargic to many for so long?
Yeah, no, I think they will have an impact in the sense that the politics of the senior echelons of power within the ANC are likely going to change. The party has faced a debilitating sort of over 20-year split down the middle, mainly embodied in the person of Jacob Zuma and another faction that was against him. You know, whether that is leading up to Polokwane or in the aftermath of Polokwane, where, you know, it was Zuma versus Mbeki, and then Zuma versus others, and then even in the Cyril Ramaphosa era, there was a grouping of a support base that began to lose its attachment to Zuma. So my view is that these politicians now have got a chance to actually fashion the politics of the ANC finally out of that what had become the source of its split for over 22 years. And I think that that allows them to focus on the issues themselves, as opposed to too strongly around personalities.
And your text message.
By the way,
Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
By the way, if you look at Cyril, Fikile Mbalula's rhetoric leading up to, you know, this lekhutla, there's been a lot of energy in that Secretary General's office, which has almost sounded as though he's pronouncing on behalf of government. And Cyril Ramaphosa actually did need that pressure. For now, obviously, it's not threatening to him, it's complimentary. and he has to catch up with it.
I'm just wondering, Timka, on the face of the impending and what we've been threatened with, that there will be a cabinet reshuffle soon, that these are some of the things that the president might be mulling over in his mind and in his quiet thoughts, that yes, we do need changes ASAP, but you also need agents of change to carry these forward, evaluating what others have done in the past, but also the political clout that they carry inside the party, and looking at the future as well. So this cabinet reshuffle that has been purported, it's not an easy task in the mind of the president. There are many balls that have to be juggled, and there and it's not as easy as we make it out to be.
It's not going to be, Thabo. Also, I mean, if you think about it, some of the there are two things here. The president wants to redeem his image in terms of how he is perceived from an indecisive leader who's always beholden to either ideological interests or, you know, seemingly too close to capital, depending on who you listen to. So he's going to want to, you know, act in a way that shows some degree of autonomy. But also, he related to the gains that is, you know, looking at him, there are certain portfolios that he cannot touch lest he be seen to be acceding to the demands, say, for example, of either capital or ideologues. And that portfolio that relates to what happens with the energy and Eskom is one of those portfolios. But also he has to be mindful of how to act in ways that actually do not yet trigger a remaking of political alliances in the ANC in ways that can begin to pressure him to leave or position his successor well to launch a campaign ahead of time.
What does the perpetual presence that seems to be re-energized of former President Mbeki do in the NEC? The kind of his presence, his continuous presence, and his revived interest, which seems so vigor more than ever before, that almost every meeting of the NEC, Lekgotla, and other structures, he's there. As an ex officio, of course.
I think it's something to be celebrated and appreciated. Mm. Obviously, there's been times when there's been some tongue lashing and you know, unsavory talk towards the president, but that's needed. I'd rather have that in a democracy than a president that's too comfortable. And in fact, President Cyril Ramaphosa has learned a way of how to cope with a Mbeki that has got a voice. Sometimes he would ignore, sometimes he would engage, but I think it's needed.
Ongamam Tinka, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm just thinking, are we, and I'm putting you in a spot here, I know, but are we going to see much accelerated enthusiasm for change in the next coming weeks? Or will it, is it just a new broom? It sweeps clean, and soon it will lose its zest as well.
I'm an optimist by nature, so I hope we'll get. Our country needs it.
Yeah. Certainly. We can do with a good dose of enthusiasm. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. I know you have to run, and you made special arrangements for us. It means a lot to us, and let's chat again in the near future.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ongama Mtimka, political analyst, speaking to us about the ANC, Lekgotla, and the energy-related matters, as the president has just announced that they are thinking and there are discussions around national state of disaster on the energy issues.